Well, any dummy ought to know. No advantage walking in circles. All we're doing is going in circles. I demand an explanation. All we're doing is going around in circles. Seventh day, go around in circles 7 times. Don't you say a word till I tell you to say it. That wasn't for the guy that said glory. I'm still telling the story. Just keep going. A few glories are in order right here. Just go around in circles. After the 7th time, shout! And the whole world came down save one. Rahab's house. She didn't know as much as they knew. She obeyed God, hung that scarlet thread out, and there it stands precariously, everything else crashing around her. Enough to give her a heart attack.
So let me go sideways here for a minute. Introduce you to the Adams family. John Adams, 1735 to 1826, Massachusetts. Educator, attorney, jurist, diplomat, and public official. Graduated from Harvard, taught school at Worcester, and considered entering the ministry, but had theological problems with Calvinism. Admitted to the bar, leader in the opposition to the Stamp Act, delegate to the Continental Congress, where he signed the Declaration of Independence, appointed Chief Justice of Superior Court of Massachusetts, delegate to the Massachusetts Constitutional Convention, and wrote most of the first draft of the Massachusetts Constitution. Foreign ambassador to Holland, signed the peace treaty which ended the American Revolution, foreign ambassador to Great Britain, served 2 terms as vice president under President George Washington, became the 2nd president of the United States, delegate to the Massachusetts Constitutional Convention. He and his one-time political nemesis turned close friend Thomas Jefferson both died on July 4th, 1826, something most people don't know about the 4th of July, the 50th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Both he and Thomas Jefferson died. Adams was titled by fellow signer of the Declaration, Richard Stockton, as the Atlas of American Independence. His son, John Quincy Adams, was also a president of the United States, making John Adams the only president who was also father of a president. He wrote, the day after the separation from Great Britain was approved, he wrote Abigail 2 letters. The first was short and concise, jubilant that the separation had come. The second was much longer and more pensive. In it, Adams cautiously noted, quote, "This day will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I'm apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival." Amazingly, Adams foresaw that their move for independence on the previous day should be celebrated for future generations. Adams told Abigail that the day should be commemorated, but only in a particular manner and with a specific spirit. He explained, quote, "It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty," end quote. On the same day that Congress approved the Declaration, it appointed John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, and Ben Franklin to draft a seal to characterize the spirit of the new nation. Franklin proposed, quote, "Moses lifting up his wand and dividing the Red Sea, and Pharaoh in his chariot overwhelmed with the waters. This motto, quote, 'Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God,'" end quote. Jefferson proposed, "The children of Israel in the wilderness, led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night." On July 8th, the Declaration had its first public reading on the steps outside Independence Hall, and then the Liberty Bell was rung, fulfilling the biblical inscription emblazoned on its side, quote, "Proclaim liberty throughout the land. unto all the inhabitants thereof. Leviticus 25:10. On July 9th, the Reverend Mr. Douche was appointed chaplain of Congress and shortly thereafter delivered this stirring prayer. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty King of kings and Lord of lords, over all the kingdoms, empires, and governments, look down in mercy, we beseech thee, on these American states who have fled to thee from the rod of the oppressor and thrown themselves on thy gracious protection, desiring to be henceforth dependent only on thee. To thee they have appealed for the righteousness of their cause. To thee do they now look up for that countenance and support which thou alone canst give. Take them, therefore, Heavenly Father, under thy nurturing care. Give them wisdom in counsel and valor in the field. Defeat the malicious designs of our cruel adversaries. Convince them of the unrighteousness of their cause. All this we ask in the name and through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen. On that same day, July 9th, word reached General Washington in New York that 4 days earlier, the Congress had authorized chaplains for the Continental Army. Washington promptly ordered chaplains appointed for each regiment and then in his general orders called on the men to attend to their spiritual duties. Quote, the Honorable Continental Congress having been pleased to allow a chaplain to each regiment, the colonels or commanding officers of each regiment are directed to procure chaplains accordingly, persons of good characters and exemplary lives, to see that all inferior officers and soldiers pay them a suitable respect and attend carefully upon religious exercises. The blessing and protection of heaven are at all times necessary, but especially so in times of public distress and danger. The general hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor so to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country. Let's get down through a plethora of things I want to read later. To Washington's inaugural address. In it, George Washington said it would be peculiarly improper to omit, in this first official act, my fervent supplications to that almighty being who rules over the universe, who presides in the councils of nations, and whose providential aids can supply every human defect. No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than those of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency. We ought to be no less persuaded that the propitious, favorable smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right which heaven itself has ordained. Following his address, the annals of Congress reported that the President, the Vice President, the Senate, and House of Representatives then proceeded to St. Paul's Chapel, where divine service was performed for the chaplain of Congress. This is, was, and ought ever to remain a Christian nation. For only this Christian nation had the grace and the love of God sufficiently embodied in its founding fathers to grant religious freedom to others. I'll give you freedom when you come to my house as a guest, and the dignity of being a guest. When you try to interfere, if I'm a father, with me and my children, or me and my wife, for my worship and my God, you don't get your ass booted out the gate. Probably to a hospital. This is a Christian nation. I'm tired of the beanheads that know about as much about history as they do mating with ducks, telling us it isn't. I thought I'd say that tonight. I'll go on telephone.
Europe, South America, the Caribbean, Mexico, Canada, or anywhere else in the world, call Collect. There you code 818-240-8151. That's there you code 818-240-8151. In the United States, it's 1-800-338-3030. That's 1-800-338-3030. Scott teaches every Sunday morning in the Los Angeles University Cathedral at 933 South Broadway between 9th and 11th in the heart of downtown Los Angeles. The service starts at 11 a.m. and pastors are required. Call and make reservations at 1-800-338-3030. That's 1-800-338-3030. Or call Collect to 818-240-8151. That's 818-240-8151. For this program is S4426. That is S4426.
Sitting with folded arms on the front row because the phones aren't ringing. We're live tonight, in case you didn't figure it out earlier, with a little bit of humor about the pipe and the cigar. And as I told you, we're going to be about $200,000 short in our budget for July, and I can't allow it. We're going to have to marathon until we raise it. It's going to take 100 people giving 1,000. It could be solved with every one of you double portioning. It's not too late. There's still 2 days left. 13 years ago, the congregation double portioned for 3 consecutive months enabling us to go on satellite. Now we're worldwide. Every July, those of you that have benefited from the satellite, and that's all of you, because everything we do is made possible with a satellite now. You join those and hurl the ministry into the next year by going double portion this month of July. And I just read what 55 patriots did, feeling God was leading them to form this country, and he was. They pledged their fortunes, their life, their sacred honor, everything. Well, God picked us to take the message of grace to the whole world. You can't double portion 1 month. What do you think faith is? Now, come on. You're sitting there like that Gimlet-eyed lobster I showed you the other night. Get these phones busy. I could be home in bed. These voices of faith could be home in bed. We're serious about this. We may have some entertaining programming for those that just surf by and may stop sometime and hear some teaching that will change their life. But tonight I'm talking to those that have already been taught. Now get busy. Get on the telephone.